to Las Vegas Cocktail. This week from Beam Global, we get to talk to Bobby G. Gleason.
Man, Bobby.
We also speak with the incoming president of the Las Vegas chapter, USBG, Andrew Pollard. Our featured interview is with Wendy Helene Hodges from the Fusion Bar in the Palazzo. And we talk China. And my special guest host, former Vegas bartender and former bassist for Vegas punk funk staple, Tits McGee, Jared Colby.
Yeah, I'm big in China. Anyway.
We talk China, formaldehyde and beer, and Chinese habits. Stay tuned.
Hey, what's going on, y'all? We're doing another episode of Las Vegas Cocktail Weekly. I'm very lucky to have an old friend who's been away for a long time, a long ways away in China, Jared Colby.
Hi there.
And then you hear the crowd in the background. And all kinds of Chinese swear words and whatnot. So, what's up with all the yelling?
What's up with all the yelling, man? Well, basically, you want to get anything done in China, there's got to be some yelling involved, man. It's not like here where you're sitting at a table and you're waiting for like a waiter or a bartender or something like that. You want some food, you want a beer, Fuyar! Babar! and you're yelling about 10 times as loud as that. And everybody else is yelling too, and it's a crazy scene, man. It's definitely politeness is a little bit different over there than it is here.
Well, and by the way, we're here at the local legendary place, the Village Pub. You can hear the soundtrack in the background. It's going to be an ever-changing melange of wonderfully horrific songs, hopefully.
Yeah, music.
And So, Jared, so you've been a bartender in Vegas, now you're in China. Tell us a little bit about yourself for the avid listeners.
Well, I was bartending here for a little while, and I started going to school for teaching. And I just got really bored, you know? Like, I mean, Vegas is great. Vegas is a wonderful town. But, you know, anything gets boring if you do it too long. And I was kind of vacillating. I was either going to the Czech Republic, to Prague, or to China, and I just said, okay, whoever gives me a job offer first, I'm going. And I got a job offer from Shenzhen, China, which is right next to Hong Kong. And I got over there and then found out that I wasn't actually going to Shenzhen. I was going to a Western Chinese city named Chongqing. Yeah, that's a real city. That's a real city, dude. I'm not making fun of Chinese people. That's an actual Chinese like the city. Chongqing. Yeah. Chongqing. Not like Chongqing, Ching Chong. I know it sounds like a stereotype, but yeah, it is a city. It's an interesting city, man.
Well, that's awesome, man. I'm glad you're back. You're back for a month, so we're gonna have to do maybe a couple podcasts. But and by the way, I didn't introduce myself. My name's Adam Rains. I'm been bartending in this town for a while as well, and have a love for the craft. Speaking of love for the craft, hey, let's just do our first hint for the mystery cocktail right now.
All right.
Mystery.
Mystery cocktail. This particular cocktail is a pink drink. It has even been described as hauntingly pink with a devilishly delightful effervescence. This is a drink that can bring you back from the bowels of your own hangover nightmare, or just cool you down on a summer afternoon.
So cheers, man. It's good to be drinking with you.
Oh shit, man. Guitar and bass and whatnot.
Yes, man.
Your future.
Hey, I was thinking we should just do a reunion show. Tits McGee reunion show.
Yeah. You remember half the songs?
Maybe not, but yeah.
Me either. It's gonna be fantastic.
But by the way, yeah, we used to. Jared was the bass man. I was the guitar for the legendary, the infamous Tits McGee.
Tits McGee.
We did play live in the Las Vegas Strip.
We did.
We had that on the show.
Got very drunk that night.
It was our birthdays.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Those good times at the Strip Burger.
Oh man. Is that place still around?
It's still around, man. Yeah, it's still flowing.
I have to go down there.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I've actually played a few shows since I went to China, man. It's a very strange sort of thing over there, like a demand for bands that are comprised entirely of Lao-Wai, which is foreigners. So yeah, we go out, we'll play like weddings or big like corporate events or whatever, and it's weird because you get like 3 or 4 or 5 thousand people watching this, and it's like, oh god.
Really?
Yeah, but then you get some really weird shows. Like sometimes they'll just put on a backing track and they want you to just play along, and they pay you for this, and it's hilarious because you have like these thousands of people watching you fake play. Like Adele or something, and you're just standing there like, you know, what the hell am I doing?
Wow.
And it's just so funny that we basically do it for the humor and the money. The money's pretty good.
That's awesome.
Sometimes we also play actual real music. But yeah, they always want to hear like the worst like pop you can imagine. It's China's the only place where I'm going to have 21-year-old college students that are men come up to me and ask, like, do you like Taylor Swift? I love Taylor Swift. Or Justin Bieber. They love Bieber. And you know who else? John Denver. But only one song, man. That Country Roads.
Oh,
whatever.
Country Roads.
Yeah, Country Roads, take me home. Yeah, they love that song.
Yeah, John Denver. What about Tina Turner? Tina Turner.
No.
Simply the best.
I don't even think they've heard of Tina Turner.
I have to tell you, I'm happy to be here listening to Tina Turner right now. Drinking Jameson, y'all. And a little Jameson and a little locally brewed beer from Ellis Island. Of course, they have it available at all the village pubs.
Tasty.
The last podcast we had, one of the marketing guys, Michael Galati, he actually let me know they have all their beers here, so...
Excellent.
It's good.
Excellent.
Yeah. I don't think they're a buck like they're at Ellis Island.
They're a dollar?
They're $1.50 now, I think.
Oh, I was going to say, I think they've actually gone down in price. Last time I was there, it was $1.75, and that was 2 years ago.
Well, the late night special is something, for an industry special.
I got to say, it beats the hell out of Baijiu and Lao Shan Chang, man.
We were just drinking Baijiu on one of the last podcasts, too. That stuff
What kind?
Some kind that tasted like they milked 14-year-old... ...in the liver ferment with natural yeast and...
Okay.
That's something.
Yeah, so that's probably good Baijiu. Yeah, I was gonna say that like the bad stuff tastes like I don't know, aviation fuel mixed with like raw unfiltered ass. It's terrible, man. Like, Arguato is a bottle of it's Red Star Baijiu, and it's a pretty like famous brand in China, and it's also about $1.50 a bottle. And my God,
wow,
it's terrible.
And so, what exactly is it? Since you've been on the front line, you've been there.
Yeah,
we only have that bottle and what we could figure out on the internet and what we could read in the Chinese. What is it? Tell us.
Baijiu is rice wine, basically. I mean, it's the same thing as kind of like soju or sake, but it's obviously way stronger. Most of the Baijiu that's sold in Chinese markets is well over 50% alcohol. It goes up to about 80%. Like Arguato is one of the more famous ones, like Red Star Baijiu. Or there's also Longzhou. Maotai is probably the biggest Baijiu producer. And that's actually like the good Baijiu, or what passes as good Baijiu. Good Maotai will go for about $300 or $400 a bottle. and tastes okay. You know, like I haven't found a baijiu I really like. There's basically
they herb them up too. They do something to it, right? There, or is that just like the natural, the unsanitary conditions?
That's the unsanitary conditions mostly. I think like I haven't seen like very many additives in baijiu aside from, you know, the chemical stuff that they're probably putting in. man, even the beer is famously full of stuff like formaldehyde. Yeah, so I will probably last for months after I die now.
Beautiful. Mm. Well, here, I want to revisit that topic, but first, hey, let's. We haven't heard from Heidi Rains for a long time. By the way, she misses you. Mm. Not in that way, hopefully. But next is the news.
Michael Morton's $3 million Project Lion at MGM Grand. Michael Morton's $3 million plus overhaul of the MGM's Nob Hill Tavern is rumored to be a 6,600 square foot nature themed wine bar with a December opening, codename Project Lion. The space will feature a main dining room, two lounges, and a private dining room.
All right, Michael Morton. He has a little bit of experience with restaurants and whatnot. He started, he probably now, his brother Peter Morton.
I totally know that
owned
guy.
The Hard Rock for a while. His mama, I think Annie Morton.
Oh, yeah.
Morton Steakhouses chain.
Yo.
Chain, but totally. He started, co-founded Nine Group. So,
oh, Nine
so like Nine Steakhouse, Nove, Italiano. Which
oh, you know what? Actually, it means nine. Yeah, I think he started Nine Lives, the cat food company. A lot of people didn't know that little known fact.
Really?
Yeah, and then he went from Nine Lives to Whiskas.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. I heard there is that direct correlation to, like, cats are finicky.
Sure, feline palates. Cats are finicky. If you can satisfy a pussy...
Pussy's palate.
If you can satisfy a pussy's palate...
In the Pussy Palace.
But that's another show. Then who's to say you can't satisfy every human being's palate for the rest of your life?
Right, every Dick and Jane.
Yeah. So every Tom, Dick, and Harry yeah. Morton, his
oh,
son.
Man.
What? Bringing it back full circle. What? And scene.
Dos Camino closes again. Is upscale Mexican on the wane? The early August 2013 second closure of BR Guest Dos Caminos in Summerlin suggests an upscale Mexican concept is possibly struggling to survive in a town where inexpensive great tacos and burritos are an easy find due to Las Vegas's large Latino population and its proximity to Mexico.
Hi, Ruby.
Hi.
Hi.
You gonna come here and help?
Ruby, can you say life is beautiful?
Yeah.
Say it.
Mm. Well, now we're talking about Dos Caminos.
Yeah. I'm not really sure why we're doing a news on this.
Dos Caminos, it's open twice. There was a lot
open
of money
twice,
put into it. Be Our Guest restaurants.
Yeah.
They're actually part owners of Fiamma, where you work. So
oh,
I
did not know that.
There's a little bit of some. I used to work at Dos Caminos.
You
and
did.
One
you
in
opened.
Palazzo opened it. So, and yeah, it just shows a major trend, Heidi, that there was
okay.
a lot
Sorry.
Of upscale Mexican happening.
Mm.
Now it's scaled back.
Right.
Or scaled down.
Down. And soon there'll just be no scale.
Yeah, well,
does that make
you know,
sense?
Mexican's one of the best, you know, best foods there is.
Yeah.
It's just hard to get people,
Don't
I think, to
Don't F with a good thing. People love Mexican food for a reason. Don't mess with it.
Yeah, well, I also worked at Border Grill. They do a great regional Mexican food, all organic, and they do it right, I think.
But here's the thing with my personal opinion. Upscale Mexican, it's like, you know, people want to eat upscale food. Those same people don't generally go to taco shops. They generally don't eat Mexican food, right? They're like, do you have anything in a rustic Balsation. Whatever? Do you have anything from the island of Balsatia that I can sink my perfect veneered teeth into? No?
Yeah.
Well, then I'm not going.
Yeah. Yeah, but so I know, yeah, a lot of them closed. Diego's is gone, or Diego's is still there, right?
Yeah.
Diego's is gone, but they're at the place at the Isla, at Treasure Island. They're no longer there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we ate there a long time ago. They were pretty good. Javier's opened. I've heard some good things about that from actual real Mexicans from Mexico.
No way.
They told me.
Bueno or malo, man. Either way.
Next.
Las Vegas Life is Beautiful Festival lineup. Tickets are on sale now for the first ever downtown Las Vegas Life is Beautiful Music Festival, October 26th and 27th. The impressive bill includes Kings of Leon, The Killers, Beck, Imagine Dragons, Empire of the Sun, Jurassic 5, and many more well-known and up-and-comers. Single-day tickets as well as VIP two-day passes are available.
Life is Beautiful. It's going to be amazing.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I'm psyched. That was on the cover of the last magazine, the Las Vegas Food and Beverage Professional. Actually wrote the cover story.
Hell yeah.
Ooh. No, yeah, I'm sounding really douchey on this one, huh?
Yeah.
Ooh, I.
I mean, for me, it's, like, normal, because it's always all about you. You know what I mean? Like, oh, world revolves around Adam.
Except during sex.
Except so. During sex, and the world revolves around. Oh, wait, no, the world does revolve around you.
I think we're getting off topic here.
Yes.
Let's talk about our beautiful lives. Yeah. Or not about our beautiful lives, but about life.
Life is beautiful.
Yes. So,
and it's going to be amazing. We've said amazing, but it's a good descriptor, and we're going to stick to it.
It is. I like that one. But, yeah, as in the article, I got to speak to Drew Levinson from Wurtz talking about the Alchemy Village. So it's going to be 15 city blocks.
Alchemy Village?
Yes. Alchemy Village is going to be part of it. So it's going to be like Lollapalooza meets, you know, Aspen Food and Wine Festival with a little Tales of the Cocktail thrown in.
Okay. Well, that reminds me. Sorry to interrupt you. But I found out, due to a couple of friends of mine who are interning there for Chowdhury.
Rehan Chowdhury. I got Chowdhury. To meet him as well.
Well, turns out that there is going to be this really cool thing where the bands are going to be... the chefs are going to be playing with the bands.
Yes, that is the opening night.
Yeah.
It's called Grills and Guitars.
Yes, Grills and Guitars. And not grills like grills.
Grills.
Yeah, like not crazy teeth grills.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Gotcha.
Like
gotcha.
Lil Wayne isn't going to be there.
Oh, good. Yeah. Okay, that's much better.
It's just so we're clear.
Yeah, I think it's Jurassic 5 will be there. We like them. They don't make anywhere as much money as Lil Wayne.
No.
Or not even most people know them, but they are awesome.
We love that band.
Good times, hip hop. But anyhow, yeah, like you're saying, like most of the time you go to like those festivals, you're like, okay, I can order Miller Lite or for $8, and or for $10 I can get Heineken.
Heineken, I was gonna say Heineken.
Yeah. You know, that's usually your choices, but this one, they'll have the boutique wineries, distilleries represented. They'll have actually the distiller from a lot of different people. Craft beers, of course. Mixology, it's going to be like amazing, and that's going to be one like whole block. Then you'll have a whole another city block of all the restaurants. 50 or 60 restaurants are going to be represented.
Yeah,
Vegas.
I better get in or I'm going to be really mad.
And the chef demos, and then all the side events like the grills and guitars. There's going to be other like chefs are going to lead like tasting cocktail pairings, wine pairings. It's going to be, there's going to be like such a concentration of masters of tequila, some master sommeliers. crazy master chefs right. are going to be there.
Kiss is performing.
Ah.
No?
No, I hope not. A lot of bands. Yeah. Kings of Leon, as you said, in your fantastic...
I did. I said Kings of Leon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The Killers. But anyway, we're just rambling on.
Rambling, yeah. It's going to be awesome. What else do you want us to say? Hey, what are you going to do? Take a couple of doo-doos. That's after. That's the next day.
All right. Well, Heidi, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
For being my wife.
Hey. You do the time. Wait. You put in the crime, you do the time.
Put it in where?
You... Ouch. Hey. Just grab a drink and get on that dance floor. We're going out tonight. Just grab a drink and get on that dance floor, yeah. Rock to the beat.
I thought you were speaking something like really deep. And...
No, no.
Yeah.
No, man. That's Richard Marx at his finest. Or at least what I think is Richard Marx. I can't really tell. Sorry, I haven't memorized the lyrics to Richard Marx.
Well, awesome. That was one hell of a version of the news, wasn't it?
That was fantastic.
And, you know, Heidi really knows her stuff.
I'll tell you, dude.
She's got her ear to the ground.
Yes. You're buried in the ground.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, man. So, what were we saying? So, we were talking about a lot of stuff on the break. Chinese girls, Chinese dating habits. But I'm sure what ties them all together, beer, is beer.
Yeah, of course. Of course, yeah.
So, all that I know of is Chinese beer is that in the American style or German style lager.
Which is about 90% of it, yeah. Because you have Qingdao, or like, you know, Tsingtao, whatever. In China, you would call it Qingdao. But, it's basically like the German-style lager is a good 90% of it. Like, what we drink in Chongqing is called Shancheng. Like, they have the Shancheng Brewery. And there's three different kinds. There's Lao Shancheng, which basically means, like, mountain beer, according to my limited Chinese. And then there's Guobin, and then there's something called 1958. 1958 is supposed to be kind of the high-end beer, but really it's just terrible. If I'm going to drink anything, I drink Guobin, because supposedly it has less formaldehyde in it. Yay, China!
It is a preservative.
Yeah, that's true. I'm very well preserved right now. It's my anti-aging secret, man.
Oh, so Chinese is that? Beer.
That is the secret, man.
Wow.
The ancient Chinese secret, formaldehyde.
Wow. Wow, man. Well, so... So the beer scene... I mean, so is there like... I know China is somewhat closed, but obviously that's been changing a little bit. I mean,
yeah,
thousands of years of history.
It's been changing fairly quickly, because the younger generation kind of has a taste for a lot of Western things. So just like in the last few years in that city, it's gone from like almost no like Western bars whatsoever to about like I don't know, 7-8 like decent ones. like live music venues, stuff like that. Stuff that we take for granted, but over there is like, wow, oh, it's interesting. Yeah, some beers that you would never think would be prevalent over there are like really like Delirium Tremens. You can find Delirium Tremens in like the weirdest places. Buddhist monasteries or like, you know, Buddhist run hostels in Xi'an.
Beautiful.
You can find the Delirium Tremens. Yeah, Delirium Tremens, man. Yeah.
Wow.
That
makes sense.
Yeah, like there's a very old town in Chongqing called Sijiko. And yes, you can find Delirium Tremens in Sijiko. So I drank some Delirium Tremens. Some IPAs, Stone IPA, actually. I've drank some Stone IPA over there. Yeah, Guinness is pretty hard to find still, unless it's foreign export, which is terrible.
Right.
Let's see, what else? Yeah, Old Speckled Hen I can get.
Okay. The Widget Can.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah.
Nice, man. Well, yeah, that's because that was one thing I was wondering, you know. And then also, so you have like a great story about some of your flair experiences.
Oh God, man. All right.
So, but before you go to that, just let us know like how is actual like you go to a regular Chinese bar.
Yeah.
What is the setup? Like, what do they have? Like, what is normal? What is a normal Chinese setup for a bar? And is it more on the mixology side? Is it more on the flair side? Is it...
For most Chinese bars, man, there's almost no flair. I think I've seen one flair bartender in the entirety of Chongqing, and he's pretty good. He is. But he's not from Chongqing. He actually came from Shanghai. Where they actually do stuff like that. But for the most part, man, there's not much mixology at all. Yeah, I told people what an Audios motherfucker was, and they were amazed. Like, oh, wow, it's like a different version of a Long Island iced tea. Really? Yeah, there's not much of a mixology scene at all. So they're starting now a little bit. They just opened a bar that kind of has a few... like cocktails that we would consider like slightly upscale, but not really anything spectacularly creative. You know, it's mint juleps, aviation, stuff like that. So yeah, stuff we already know, but nothing really like spectacularly creative. It's starting. It's just starting. So.
Oh, that's cool. And do they use like? I mean, like, will they have like? Bottled sweet and sour? Do they actually use a lemon? Like, do they use like fresh stuff? Do they?
Man,
is it kind of like
you have to make your own sweet and sour?
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so by default, the sour mix is really good.
That's cool.
Because like sour mix is just not something you see over there. So if you want to have anything, yeah, you have to make your own sour mix, which is cool because it comes out way better.
Yeah, you actually want to drink the drink.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of the, the ingredients are like fresh and homemade, because of necessity.
See?
You know, like you have to make your own stuff because it's not a high demand thing. So, yeah, you make your own.
Okay. Wow. So, well, I want to get to that flair story in a second, but right now, so there's a few. Actually, last month, Bobby G. Gleason. I don't know, he works for Beam Global. He's like, you probably heard the name. He's like mixologist, like mixology's in his veins. He was integral in like developing the Vegas scene.
Yeah.
He's one of our, you know, like Tony. He's like Tony Alvarado. Like he's like one of our guys. But anyway, we were lucky enough to be at the Palms. He was putting on a little session where he was just mixing up drinks on the fly. And so we all got to hang out with him and just drink some drinks. So here's some audio from that.
Hey, y'all. How y'all doing? Hey, we're going to be the library fans club, man.
So, Priscilla, we're here at the Beam Global event with Bobby G. Gleason. How are you doing? How are you having fun?
I'm having a lovely time. Having to finally meet Adam. I heard so much about you.
I read about you.
I read about you, exactly. We've had some great cocktails with fresh seasonal fruit so far. A lot of stone fruits, pluots, peaches. Pairs very well with bourbon. So here with Bobby G. Fantastic.
Life is good, right?
Making some more chicks, they'll be back at three. So we break out the bones and get to slapping them down. We got to it, why did he? Pumping surround sound. It's a lovely day. And I feel like Bill Withers, food stacked on the plate, man.
So, Tom, how's it going, brother?
Oh, hey, what's happening? Yeah, having a good time. Yeah, I'm drinking some good drinks, some good cocktails.
I didn't say your full name. It's Tom.
Tom. Yeah.
The last name.
Oh, last name? Kozlowski. Yeah. Polish and Mexican.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm Olam's backwards, dude. You know what I'm saying?
Bring the wings and I'll bring the booze. Oh shit, another barbecue. You bring the ladies and I'll bring.
I'm here with Michael Frisdale. What's going on, man? You having fun?
Oh, absolutely, man. How's it going?
Dude, it's good, man. The last cocktail I had with the is blueberry thyme of the white devil. Or no, it was the Jim Beam Ghost. It's actually surprisingly amazing. I've never had the Ghost before.
Absolutely. It's my first time trying the Ghost as well, and I had one with the fresh lemon juice and the mint in it as well, and it was fantastic. I really love the stuff that Bobby G's putting up tonight as far as representing the Jim Beam Ghost, and even with his smoked Manhattans, man. I mean, like, they're really, really on point tonight. Really, really good cocktails.
Yeah, I just tried that one too, and he even did a little personal LaCroix smoking for Megan, but wouldn't you?
Oh, absolutely. For Megan, I would totally smoke it with a fry.
Oh shit, another barbecue. You bring the wings and I'll bring the brew. Oh shit, another barbecue.
So here with Wendy again. She's a great friend to Las Vegas Cocktail Weekly and to Las Vegas in general. Tell me what we're tasting. We just had a handcrafted cocktail by Bobby G. Gleason. Tell me what we had.
He has made you a smoked Manhattan, and he used the Jim Beam Devil's Cut, and he took a smoke gun with applewood, and he smoked it into the cocktail, and then he stirred it with ice, and he strained it. And then for your friends, he also took an atomizer and sprayed LaFroig, but with fire. So he burned the LaFroig over the top. So that was pretty cool. I'm a little jealous that I didn't get that one. However, the smoked Manhattan was quite nice.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it very much. Adam Raines with Las Vegas Cocktail Weekly. I am lucky enough to be at a bar with Bobby G. Gleason. He is making up some amazing drinks. We've had quite a few. What are you mixing up right now?
This one I'm calling the Honey Smash. So what I've done is I muddled whole lemons, cut up the lemons, muddled that with mint, and added our new Jim Beam Honey. It's got just enough sweetness to it. And no sugar at all.
Yeah.
So it's going to keep
good it. For those skinny drinkers, right?
Well.
I mean, the honey's probably got a little extra calories, but not as much as if you added simple syrup, correct?
Correct, yeah. I mean, there's a little bit more sweetness with the honey. Have you had the Jim Beam honey yet?
I haven't had it yet.
Oh, let's give it a taste.
Very excited.
So I know there's a lot of honey products out right now, so. And I know, like, one of the competitors.
This is a little on the sweet side, but you're looking at a 70 proof bourbon. It's a bourbon base, but it's only 70 proof, so it's still.
It's great as a modifier.
Yeah.
Let me try that.
I got you. By the way, I'm here with Wendy.
Wendy Verdell Hodges from Fusion Bar at Palazzo.
She's been on before.
I have been on before.
That's nice. It goes down like honey.
It does go down like honey. You don't even realize it's alcohol, which is good.
Yes.
For your sweet drinkers.
And honey is good for you.
It is very good for you. And actually, medicinal. Honey and lemons are very medicinal.
Absolutely.
In the wintertime.
in the winter. Yeah, it's very good on a hot toddy in the winter. I think this year, for New Year's Eve, a little bit of Jim Beam honey and top it up with champagne, you are good to go. So normally with a smash, you would muddle that right in the glass you're going to serve it in. But because we're serving sample size, we're going to muddle it and then give it a shake.
So yeah, so doing, obviously, making cocktails for an event like this, little samples, obviously differs from making cocktails for you know, one person, as opposed to also pre-batching. So as far as planning an event like this, are you mainly just kind of free-flowing, or did you have kind of a game plan?
Yeah, I do this a lot in our whiskey. We have events called the Whiskey Fair or our Spirits Confidentials. And what I do is, you can see all the fresh fruit that I brought in, and I like to go to local markets, pick up whatever fresh fruit is available, and then come in and make cocktails. And one of the fun things that I like to do is bring, you know, familiar ingredients in an unexpected way. So, for instance, tonight people looked at me, what are you going to do with yellow bell pepper?
That one was awesome, by the way.
So I took that bell pepper, muddled that with fresh blueberries. We added some fresh lemon sour and some O3, so super premium orange liqueur, and our Jacob's Ghost white whiskey. So just it's a little spin off of the Daisy. And Daisy originally made with tequila, and what I'd like to show is the versatility of the Jacob's Ghost. Now, it's a white whiskey aged one full year in a brand new charred oak barrel. So it softened the edges that a young whiskey has, and then we take it, we filter it through charcoal, what we call polishing it, down to the bottle product, the liquid that we have in the bottle. So it still has a little bit of color in it, all the flavor of the whiskey, but not all the burn that you get from a really young whiskey. So we filled both flavor profiles that people are looking for. They're looking for a white whiskey, but with the bourbon base aged for a year, it softens that. While it works for traditional whiskey cocktails, it also works for something that you would make with a vodka or a rum or a gin or a tequila. And so it's showing the versatility of it. It's really surprising a lot of bartenders when they get the opportunity to taste it.
Adam Reigns of Las Vegas Cocktail Weekly. I'm here with the new incoming presidente of the USBG chapter in Las Vegas. It's a great, great title. We're used to great titles. You were GM of the Vesper Bar.
Opening property mixologist. Yeah. Built the Vesper Bar program very proudly. My guys are doing their thing, you know, trying to move the needle for Las Vegas one bar at a time. I've got 2.5 years about vice president as vice president for the USBG chapter, and then now formally president. So very excited, very anxious to progress and build our community stronger, and you know, motivated folks like you definitely make it easier.
Hell yeah, man.
Get the word out.
Because this town has so much talent. Like,
absolutely.
I mean, you've managed a lot of them. You've mentored a lot of them. You've brought people up. And, it's exciting things to be here in Vegas. But I wanted to talk to you about, I know, your role now. I mean, you're not behind the bar as much. But people are tasting. You could argue that people are tasting your creations all over town. Like, I was just randomly at the Atomic Liquors opening, and I know, like, you did some of the drinks, like, had the drinks for the Gordon Ramsay Pub and probably loads of places that I don't even know about. So how would you contrast that to be behind the bar? Like,
well, I mean, now the opportunity that I have in my position now working as a beverage specialist for Wurtz Beverage, I have the opportunity to become more global, you know, and to touch bartenders, to get them to a level to where they're confident about doing their job daily, you know, and not just going in, clocking out. I want to get them excited, get them engaged, get them inspired to be better bartenders as a profession, as a craft. The evolution of this business, you know, you're either in the game or you're not. And if you're not, you're probably very angry, and you know, you're always looking for that, always looking for that new opportunity. But the fact of the matter is, as a bartender, as a great bartender, it's all about the total package. It's about service. It's about great drinks, knowledge, education, building and creating experience. So, you know, if you can't understand that, then unfortunately, you know, it's a situation to where you're gonna get left behind. You know, this business is evolving faster than any industry out there, and I'm just really proud to be a part of it and be able to be in a position to where I can hopefully inspire others as my mentors have inspired me.
That's awesome. And I know right now we're at an event with Bobby G. Gleason.
Bobby G., the guy, the man, Bobby.
See, and I've never been at the other side of the bar seeing Bobby G., you know, so it's awesome tasting his cocktails. It's great. It's events just like this that kind of inspire me.
Absolutely. You know, guys like Bobby G., you know, these are all mentors of ours, of everybody in this community, you know, and for the opportunity for a lot of us, you know, as you talked about myself, not being behind the bar every day, you know, and guys like Bobby and Tony, Francesco, all these, Drew Levinson, and all these guys, they've been able to inspire and mentor a lot of folks, unfortunately, given their positions, and not necessarily approachable to a lot of folks, you know. So creating an event like this gives everybody, the community, an opportunity to engage with these individuals that have inspired them and mentored them, and just kind of, you know, kind of, it hits home. It really does, you know, as people like to kind of, you know, see what they're doing on the daily basis, and not just reading about them, but
right.
You know, we're very fortunate to be involved in a community that's so concentrated with talent. I'd like to take the opportunity to capitalize on that for the benefit of our city and our chapter.
Awesome. So, and I won't take too much of your time because there's a lot of stuff going on around us. There's cocktail tasting. There's loads of people here. Plus, I want to be able to interview you in a quiet
sure,
space.
Sure, absolutely. You know? Yeah, we'll do
I'll
it.
Alchemy room at Wurtz.
We will.
Awesome. So,
absolutely.
And then taste some of your cocktails, too.
Got it.
Freaking amazing. I mean, well, I taste, we everyone around town, you taste some of his cocktails. But to have it from the man would be awesome. But, yeah, man, thank you for talking to me.
Absolutely.
We'll talk soon, brother.
You're my guy. I like it. Cheers. Cheers from Social Bar and all of our friends from Beam and Bobby G and Mr. Rains.
Okay, sorry, on the break we were talking about Chinese weddings, man. How are those Chinese weddings?
Interesting, man. The only weddings I've been a part of so far, I was in the band, which makes things interesting as well. So the only real drinking I did was like the pilfered bottle of wine. Like, yeah, Chinese do have like wine. It's called like Great Wall. It's probably the biggest one.
They have a budding industry.
Yeah, so I pilfered a couple of bottles of Great Wall and got kind of drunk, but they get fantastically drunk. Yeah, and usually involves like a 10 or 20 minute speech by I'm not sure if it was the best man because the whole thing was all in Chinese and I couldn't follow it. But yeah, it's just a rambling speech of a guy who has obviously had way too much baijiu. And by the end of the night, we were like, you know, we walk out of the hotel and there's a guy just passed out on the hotel steps, sleeping away. You know, people stumbling around all over the place. Somebody threw up right in front of the limo. Oh, it was fantastic. Yeah. And a friend of mine who was there was like, this is kind of tame. They really, really like their drinking, man. Yeah, China is a huge drinking country. Like, I've been to business dinners with very, very, like, you know, like prominent people in Shenzhen. One of them was one of the guys who was the head of the power commission for the whole city, which in a city of 14 million people, he's like some high-ranking guy in the Communist Party. What ended up happening was there was a few of us, the guy who was running our seminar and him and like two of his friends, of course a bottle of Mao Tai comes out and then crates of beer and then more Mao Tai. And by the end of it, because he was trying to get us drunk, and it was me and a girl from New Orleans, and then one guy from New Zealand. This did not end well for him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, come on. Las Vegas, New Orleans, and then a New Zealander. Yeah, so he fell right out of his chair. Fantastic stuff. Just drinking, and just whoop. And we awesome. Started laughing. And this happens all the time. You go to big dinners, and people just bring out the Mao Tai, and it's gombe, which is like bottoms up. And you just do shot after shot of baijiu. Oh, man.
I like that. Gombe.
Yeah. Finish. There's also Swilo. Yeah, both of them basically mean, like, finish. And like, you know, if you don't want to finish the whole thing, you'd be like, okay, EDN Gombe, like, little Gombe. Maybe so you drink half.
Really?
Yeah. But we Gombe.
It's like a
people.
Negotiation.
Yeah, we Gombe people all the time. Ah, Gombe. Like, oh, man. And then you end up finishing like an entire gin and tonic. Or, yeah. Yeah, it's a drinking culture. Yeah, even more so, I think, than Vegas, which is surprising.
Wow.
Yeah, but body weight alone makes us superior.
Superior American liver.
That's right. Well, superior American size, I think, more than anything. Right. I am a gigantic man in China. Yeah, I can't even find shoes in my size.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I wear like a 12 and a half most of the time. It's like a size 46 over there. Impossible.
Wow. Like, so what are you going to stock about shoes?
Yeah, I bought 3 pairs, actually. While I was here, and then they have a site called Taobao. I order more from that because they'll actually go up to like 46. But and then some shoe companies like Converse, I can order 45, I think, or maybe it was Reebok. I can't remember. Every shoe size is different.
Right.
But yeah, in any case, yeah, they go up to like 43, which is like 9.5. 9.5 is like the biggest they'll sell in this shoe stores because. The people are small. Like,
yeah, and I've seen, I mean, excluding like the basketball teams.
Yeah. I get on the subway and I look around and maybe there's one or two people that are my size and everybody else is shorter. I was teaching university classes over there, like Greco-Roman mythology, stuff like that. And I'd get like one person out of like, I think I teach 350 students. There was one guy as tall as me in all of the classes.
Really?
Yeah. It's amazing. Like, I felt so big. Like,
yeah. The ladies find me so big over there.
Yeah, I'm gigantic.
Yeah, I'm huge in China.
Mm-hmm.
No, literally, I am.
Yeah. I'm big in China in every way possible.
Right on, man. Well, speaking of big, here's another big hint for our mystery cocktail.
The main liqueur in this easy sipper is one that almost disappeared but was championed by an English gin producer. The distillery makes a citrus-forward and viscous gin that should be tried by everyone, and its name is usually associated with a rock. This liqueur is made in part from English wild berries, but the cocktail is 100% American in origin.
So after that hit, I gave too much information. They already know.
Yeah.
They already know what it is. Oh well. What are you gonna do? But hey, so we were talking. We're almost at the completion of the episode.
Yeah.
We have great music going on. I know y'all could probably hear it. I don't even know who it is. I don't want to know. I don't know why we chose this place, but I mean it's probably for the beer.
Yeah. Yeah, mostly beer, I think.
I know, but like I know you can usually drink yourself blind, but can you drink yourself deaf?
There's only one way to find out, man.
Glug, glug, glug. Cheers, man. Yes. So, so I heard you're, speaking of being huge in China, you're huge on the flair scene there.
Oh, God, man. Yeah, so people hear, they hear bartender and they hear Las Vegas. Because I was a member of the union out here. We've got a lean-to down.
It's all good.
But anyway, so I was a member of the union out here, and I have the union bartender shirt, and I wore that one day, and they're like, "Oh, you're a bartender from Vegas," and so a few job offers ended up coming in out of this, and one of them was to bartend a convention, like a pretty big like auto show sort of thing, at the convention center in Chongqing. So okay, yeah, I can bartend for an hour. Oh, we'll pay you $200. Sure, I can bartend for $200 for an hour. Hell yeah, that sounds great. So I get there and I look around. And I was like, oh, where's the bar? And they're setting up on stage. Like, oh no, this is gonna go badly. Like, what are you guys doing?
So
like, okay,
stage, yeah, like they're.
Like, they have a stage.
Like, you're an exhibition.
Yeah, yeah. Like, like they had a few bands playing up there or whatever. And they have me slotted in for an hour. I've got a flair bartend for an hour. And I look around, I've got my bar. My bar is gin, whiskey, rum, tequila, mango juice, strawberry juice, Coke, and Sprite. I'm trying to figure out what do I do with this. I start juggling for a few minutes, and I try to make cocktails, but obviously this is not going so well. I make a few things with mango. I make a few things with strawberry, and I just start inviting people up on stage to get drunk, which was awkward in and of itself because my Chinese is like really, really limited, and hardly anybody there spoke English. So I had the agent up there translating for me. And everyone just kind of looking at me. They're very polite. They didn't boo. But they were obviously really confused. Because the program said that I would be juggling and, like, I don't know, throwing flames or something. They heard Las Vegas and assumed that I was going to pull a magic act. and, yeah, so it was like 800 people I'm doing this in front of. And I have been more awkward in my life, I think. I just don't remember when. So after about 30 minutes, it was just like, okay.
Yeah, I gotta go.
Yeah, I'm actually cleaning the bar in front of 800 people, and I have just given up completely. I have no idea what to do now. And so the host comes up and tries to save me, and she's like describing like you know this drink, and I make her a drink, and she sips it. It's like, oh, okay. And she looks at me, and she's like, we still have 15 minutes left, and I'm like, yeah, that's nice, bye. And I walked off stage.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, and they did. They paid me, which was nice. And I told them, like, never again. Never again. Don't ever do that to me. It was terrible. I had no idea. It was a complete ambush.
Wow, that's hilarious. That's like one of those things that can get lost in translation.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Las Vegas bartender apparently means flair bartender everywhere else on Earth. So beware if you ever end up traveling in, some of the places of the world that,
Well, and because we all look like Tom Cruise, too. So
oh, yeah. Obviously. I look exactly like Tom Cruise.
But they all look like Jackie Chan.
So. Oh, yeah, exactly. or Lucy Liu.
Well, speaking of flair, well, actually, my next interview, she is not a flair bartender, but she's an amazing bartender. It's Wendy Helene Hodges. She bartends at the Fusion Bar at the Venetian, which is one of the only mixology bars that's on a casino floor. It's actually really cool. She
right on.
All different types of infusions, all different flavor combinations. You just go and say, make me something. And yeah. She'll ask you a few questions to guide her along, and she just does it, you know. I mean, that's what we all love to do, but that's like she is set up for it to the T.
Sounds good. I gotta visit that place before I go back.
She's good peeps too. So, but anyway, here's next Wendy. So that was tasty. What did we just drink?
We drank a little tequila that I infused with a tiramisu tea. Delicious.
Tiramisu tea.
Yes.
Where would you find that?
I get that from a little specialty tea shop called Little Candle and Tea Company. She doesn't have her website up yet, but I just drive out to Nellis Air Force Base. She has a stand there at the BX. She has all these wonderful craft teas. She gets some from, she works with an herbalist out of Arizona, and everything's organic. And she's just got so many unique and crazy mixtures and concoctions of these teas. They're so good.
So I know you didn't make the tea, but
no.
I can imagine that's like Stratos Aligned tea / coffee.
There's coffee beans in this tea, mm-hmm. hence why you're getting the coffee in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then it has, I think, toffee chips and almonds, chamomile, chocolate chips. Everything's listed on the back of the labels, and you can read it all, and that's what I like.
Right.
No polysorghum somethings. I completely understand them, and that's nice.
That's how things that we put in our bodies should be.
Exactly. All natural, coming from Mr. Farmer's Market himself. Yes.
Even though, you know, because we do drink quite a bit of poison, but, you know, you have to have the balance.
Yeah. If you put the fresh stuff in with the poison, it all balances. It's nice.
Exactly. So, by the way, this is Adam with Las Vegas Cocktail Weekly. I'm with Wendy Hodges. It's Helen Hodges.
Helene, like Helene Curtis.
Helene. And I am feel very fortunate to be able to hang out with her. We were able to hang out at the Las Vegas Bar Nightclub Convention. You helped me out a lot. Thank you.
You're welcome. It was fun.
Because it was almost too much fun. There was too many distractions.
There was so much going on.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, it was fun to go see Zach and try that. What was it? The Armadillo?
Yeah.
Armadillo Tequila? Oh, that was really nice. I liked that one. The Reposado was so smooth.
Yeah. That was a highlight. That vodka you showed me was a highlight for me. That I don't know if you tried that mezcal too. That was beautiful mezcal.
Did I?
Marca Negra.
I don't know if I made my way over to that one.
Yeah.
There was too much going on.
Yeah.
It was like trying to cram it all in on the last day.
Right, exactly. Work gets
good.
In the way.
Yes.
Sometimes.
Between work and home.
Right?
How do we find time to drink? I don't understand.
That's why we have to make time right now. This is our professional development.
Exactly. This is called research and
yes.
development.
Oh, yeah. How long have you been behind the bar, and how did you start?
Okay, I've been behind the bar for over 21 years. Yeah. God,
awesome.
Now you'll know my age.
Well,
I guess.
No, there was less age restriction when you started, right?
There was, yeah.
I
started when I was 5 years old, and
okay.
I've been in the business my whole life. I mean, I started out 16 years old as a hostess at Ryan's Steakhouse. You know, worked my way up in the world, started, you know, cocktailing, I've bussed, I've barbacked, I've done it all. But getting behind the bar the first time was after I was ballroom dance. Well, I was a ballroom dance instructor. And
oh, wow.
I used to go sit at this British pub for lunch every day. And they kept trying to get me to try beer, and I was 19. And I would pretend that, I'm sorry, I just don't like those beers. So that they wouldn't know I was underage. But they didn't really seem to care, you know, being from England. And I think their drinking age was 16 at the time. So they didn't really care. And they're like...
It's good for you.
Yeah. So they...
Back in the day, they used to give kids gin, so...
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, the pilgrims, they made that whole journey. The reason they had to stop in Plymouth was because they ran out of beer.
Right. That's how America was founded.
Yes. Did you see that series?
Oh, yeah.
I love that one.
Yeah.
Like, what was it? How Booze Built America. Best little documentary. And gosh, if my history class was like that, I probably would have paid attention.
That's one thing, you know, like history, culture, booze, production, beer, wine.
Yeah.
Spirit. This just goes hand in hand. You know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know who said the quote, but one of the quotes is like, wherever there's wine, there's culture, and it's so true.
That is very true.
And, like, I think that's where they have problems in the Middle East. They're not allowed to drink.
That,
you know?
I like your theory.
They beat
beat women. I'm not bashing the Mideast.
Not at all.
But it's still, it kind of goes hand in hand, you can see.
Yeah.
But, so you've been doing it for a while, yeah. And what do you love about it?
I think I love the creativity that it all has developed through the years. It started out where I was working in a British pub where it was just beer, and I developed a appreciation for different beers and different styles. And then a bar owner came in one night when I was working, and he's like, I need you to come work for me. It was a rival British pub on Clearwater Beach, and I was like, ooh, work on the beach. Yeah, I'm down. I get in there, and it was full liquor, and of course, I'm like, deer in headlights, and I can't work here. He's like, why not? I'm like, don't know the first thing about any of that. Just can help you with your beer. And he was like, oh, that's cool. What's in a screwdriver? And I'm like, vodka and orange juice? And he's like, yeah. And he goes like, what's in a Bloody Mary? And I go, vodka Bloody Mary mix? He's like, yep, that'll work. And then he's like, what's a Cuba Libra? And I say, a what? And he goes, it's a rum and coke tall with lime. And I said, well, why didn't you say that? He goes, and that's what you tell the asshole who orders a Cuba Libra.
Awesome.
And that was my first full liquor bar. And basically, he handed me some little bar book. I don't even remember which one it was. And he's like, if they ask you for something you don't know how to make, look it up in the book. When you're slow, read and learn how to make these drinks. And if somebody asks you for something and you don't know what's in it, you ask them, what's in it? If they don't know, you tell them they don't need to drink it. Yeah. And so then I started developing a rapport with guests that way, getting cocky and stuff. And then I started really enjoying that aspect of the business and just talking to people. And over the years, my appreciation of the different spirits and cocktails grew. And now just, focusing on mixology, I think my favorite bit of it is just getting creative, using fresh ingredients, taking things back old school. I don't like to call myself a mixologist. I call myself a throwback bartender because I do things the way they're supposed to be.
Right on, right on. And right now you're at the Fusion Bar?
Yes.
At the Venetian?
Yep.
And you are lead bartender?
Well...
Bartendress?
No, I'm day shift. Everybody... They come to me for a lot of things, but I don't give myself a title.
who really needs a title when you bring it every day?
Yeah.
When you rock it.
You don't have to have a title. Just do your job and enjoy it, and it shows, and the guests appreciate it, and that's I think the joy on people's faces when I create something new just for them, that's what pays me the most. Besides the tips, believe me, I gotta have my money. But I think that's my favorite part.
So fusion is part of the word infusion, so I understand you do quite a few there?
Yes, that's actually one of my specialties is infusions. We have a few that are always ongoing in tanks on the bar, but we also have a lot that we'll do in small batch and bottle. And then we also make our own syrups, and we infuse those. As a matter of fact, I'm going to make a sage syrup and play with that tomorrow. So, yeah. Nice. But yeah, we specialize in handcrafting cocktails, and we like to do things that are a little unique and, off the cusp. But we do most of our infusions because it helps us do quality cocktails quickly. So when we're dealing with masses, we're on a casino floor, and all of a sudden some convention lets out and your bar is like four deep, and people are wanting all these fancy drinks, but you really don't have time to sit there and muddle and fire roast and, take that extra crafted time that you want to, then you can, turn to the infusions and still come up with some really fabulous things.
Something unique that they can't get anywhere else.
But exactly.
Fast and tasty.
But you can do it quickly.
Awesome. And so you've done, I understand you've done a few competitions.
Yes.
And I'm going to backtrack. In general, what is your approach to making a drink? Do you start with a spirit? Do you start with an idea?
Usually I come up with cocktails and then a competition pops up and I go, oh, that cocktail I did 2 months ago will go really good with this.
Like the one you just created today.
Yes. Like that one's just waiting for a competition. Right. It's done. I just need to have a tequila competition. But yeah, that's, I'll taste something or I'll see something. And a bunch of stuff just starts going through my mind, and I just start creating. and there's really no rhyme or reason to any of it. I dream drinks. A couple of the infusions on the bar were because my brain wouldn't stop thinking at night, and I had to, like, get up and write it down. Like, our tropical rum up there, we use Sailor Jerry's spice rum, and it's infused with pineapple, mango, orange, and vanilla bean. Well, you'd think that'd be something that, yeah, okay, I can just roll over and go to sleep. No, my mind kept saying pineapple, mango, orange, vanilla bean, spice rum, over and over and over again until I got up and wrote it down, and then I was able to go back to sleep. So... yeah, I just, I dream drinks.
So you're always dreaming drinks, and so, like you said, so for time for a competition, you wouldn't, like, I mean, besides for using whatever spirit they want, you might not just have a different approach. You would just take the inspiration where it comes?
Yeah. Now, sometimes, like, for example, when I did the Machu Pisco competition, which was a twist on a Pisco Sour, I did a lot of research. I have a lot of Peruvian friends. Knowing what I know about Pisco, you know, you can't buy it flavored. It doesn't come in, like, 20 different flavors like vodka or rum, for that matter, or anything else. It's so pure, and they don't allow you to add anything to it. However, in the southern regions of Peru, a lot of them do infusions. They take dried fruits, and they'll use dried plums or apricots, raisins, anything like that, and they soak it or macerate it in the pisco and then pour that off and just sip on it that way. So that's what inspired my twist on the pisco sour, when I infused it with apricots, which after going to Peru when I won the competition, discovered that that's very popular there. The apricots is like one of their favorites. And then I just infused my syrups, and I stayed true to the Peruvian Pisco Sour, where I did 3-1-1-1, three parts Pisco, which I did the infused. Then I infused my syrup with rosemary and chili, so that I got a little sweet, sour, savory, and spicy all in one drink. So.
Beautiful. So was that the last competition you did?
No, I enter all different kinds, but like, I was in the Woodford Reserve one and stuff. But
the Manhattan.
Yeah, the Manhattan one. I submit recipes sometimes. A lot of times I create things for them and then I miss the deadlines.
I've done that a couple times as well.
But I always have drinks. I just have to wait till the next time around. Like, I had a great cocktail for the Bombay Sapphire one, and I completely missed the deadline. I don't even know where I was or what I was doing. And I was like, dang it. Now I got to go back and wait till next year and hope all these ingredients will still be really good.
Right.
You know, in with the times. So, yeah. But I just got invited to do the La Diablada I Am Shaman one, which is an invite-only competition, so I'm excited about that. And that one's La Diablada's Pisco. It's Machu Pisco is their straight or pure Pisco, and then La Diablada is their achelado, or their vintage blend. And so that one's a blend of three different grape varietals, and it's very floral. Yeah, really nice. No age. It's rested. They're not allowed to age Pisco.
Right,
but,
that's what I thought.
So, so Pisco, which is one of my favorite spirits, like right now probably my favorite, is an unaged grape brandy, if you will, that can only be done in Chile and Peru. And the Pisco has to be distilled up to proof. They can't add water to it, unlike other spirits, where they'll take it out to 100, you know, 200 proof, whatever, right, and then they add water and cut it down to bring it to... You can't do that with Pisco. It's very unique and precise process. They have to be very careful when they're doing their heads and tail cutting and all that. And they're not allowed to put it into anything that'll change the flavor once they've distilled it. They have to put it into a non-corruptive vessel. They can use ceramic, they can use stainless glass, and it's allowed to rest, you know, but it's not aged. You can't put it in any wood. You can't change it in any aspect whatsoever. So it can rest, and then it has to be bottled and put out there for the masses. So it's pretty unique. I like it.
That's great, because I know there's the age-old, you know, competition between Chile and Peru. They've had wars. I think the wars were fought over Pisco. Not that they weren't. But obviously there's the town of Pisco in Peru, so yes. We think we know who wins the debate.
I would concur. I would definitely concur on that one. Plus, I find, like, my personal opinion, that the Peruvian Piscos are a little more smoother. So, I don't know. For me, that just means they've been doing it longer.
Gotcha. That makes sense.
That's my opinion.
Well, see, because I used to live in Chile, and I drank a load of Pisco when I was there. So.
Yeah.
And I believe it or not, I've had maybe one or two Piscos from Peru, but I still need to explore more.
Yeah, they're really good, and you know they're all unique. And there's such a small amount that are here in the United States. When I was in Peru, I went into this one. Basically it was like a liquor store / bar, almost like a package store here, if you will. But you could go up to like a tea room, so to speak, and you could try any of these piscos that they were selling. But there were so many, it was like almost scary. Like. Yeah, you
kid in a candy store.
Yeah, you just sit there staring and you don't even know what to do. you just sit there and go, just bring me something. Luckily, I was there with some Peruvian people, so they ordered everything for me, and I just went, oh, that's really good.
Awesome. So Pisco Sour is classic.
Yes.
And I, you know, believe it or not, I don't know too many other. I mean, I played around with Pisco a little bit, but I don't know too many other classic cocktails that are Pisco.
Chilcano, which is kind of like Peru's take on a Moscow Mule, but instead of ginger beer, they use ginger ale and lime juice and Pisco. Really, really delicious cocktail. Very refreshing, wonderful for summer. What else?
In Chile, they do Piscolas, which is not my favorite one, but they do it with Squirt a lot.
And, yeah.
Different juices as well. But
yeah. Yeah. Pretty much anything with fresh juice, it works well with the Pisco. Though I just really enjoy sipping it on its own. And when you try the different ones, you can taste the different grape varietals, and you can taste, like, where they're from. You get something different from each bottle. So that's kind of cool, too.
Beautiful.
And so, that's what I think about Pisco.
Yes. So, maybe one more question. Thanks for the Pisco knowledge, but as far as your own personal development, what do you like to do, or what do you do to continue your personal development?
Constantly reading. I buy every bar book. I love buying all the older ones. Really, really enjoy the classic cocktails and trying to reintroduce those to the world. One person at a time.
Yes.
One guest at a time. Hey, you know, you like those kind of flavors. Maybe you'd really appreciate an Aviation. Let me explain that one to you.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And, I do a lot of just my own research. Like, if somebody asks me for something that I don't know, oh my gosh, I will make it my life's mission to learn everything there is about it, so that the next time somebody asks me about it, I can tell them every story that goes with it.
Right, I'm the same way. I never want to, you know, no one knows everything, obviously,
no.
But, you know, especially when you're in your place of employment, you want to be knowledgeable, you want to do it
exactly
as you can. You don't want to get stumped,
yeah,
you know, again.
Yeah.
You know, at least, you know, so that's great. Wendy, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
I think we're going to have some more of this infused tequila.
I think that's a great idea.
I don't want to kill it. It'll be too easy.
It's okay. I have a whole bottle at home. I just brought the flask.
Oh, and by the way, I just took a picture. I'll show you guys. We have this beautiful bedazzled flask.
It's my girly flask. It's my Vegas flask.
It works. Getting loaded and fixing it. His liver exploded. Now what's Bob gonna do now that he can't drink? The doctor said, what you been thinking about? Bob said, that's the point. I won't think about nothing. Now I gotta do something else. Oi, oi, oi! Mystery cocktail.
Mystery cocktail. The answer is the slow gin fizz. The slow gin fizz is 2 ounces slow gin, 1/2 ounce lemon juice, 1 teaspoon of superfine sugar, and club soda. Throw everything in a mixing glass, throw some ice in, shake it up well, and then strain it into a chilled Collins glass and fizz it up. So add club soda, or more preferably a soda siphon. Pour it in so that it gives you a nice foam. A lesser known cocktail with slow gin is the Millionaire Cocktail, number one, which of course is use the juice from one lime, use 3/4 slow gin, apricot brandy, and funky Jamaican rum. A little grenadine for color. And enjoy.
Yeah, hey, Jared, thanks for coming back to the United States of America.
United States of America. Greatest country in the history of world ever of all time.
Yes, man.
That's right.
Hey, let's try to do it again before we bounce, man.
Yeah,
there's more good, stuff man. To talk about. Oh,
plenty more, man. Okay. Plenty more.
Awesome, brother. Cheers.
Cheers.
Or how do you say it? Ching ching?
Oh, gambe, man.
Gambe.
So that's the conclusion of the podcast. Feel free to stay tuned and listen to Kevin Roberts from Wurtz talk about Life is Beautiful. I'm really excited about this thing. Also, some more talk with Wendy. A little bit of banter with Raul Faria. Mixology Made Simple. And a little bit more. Here's a little bit of soul for all you who need a side pocket / tits McGee fix. And yarn. And the lyrics are easy enough to learn because it's I got so much soul. I got it coming out my asshole. I'm gonna go.
Next up, Kevin Roberts from Wurtz Beverage to talk about the upcoming Life is Beautiful Festival.
I was talking to Jolene Manina yesterday, and she was just very excited about it too. And she got me all excited because it can showcase all the talent that Vegas has, but then also bringing people from all over to be involved too. It's a really cool thing. Beautiful, and thanks for talking to me.
Thanks for the interview. Really appreciate the interest in Life is Beautiful. Appreciate everybody's interest in, like I said, October 26th and 27th. It's going to be two days of just awesomeness. You know, I think that something that is pretty unique is, and I'm not sure if you knew this or not, but Wurtz Beverage Nevada has some of the top mixologists in the world.
Yeah, Andrew's amazing.
Yeah, Andrew and Drew. Drew Levinson. I mean, they're incredible. And then we have some of the top craft beer experts through the Cicerone program with Jack Kramer and Kim Bearden and Michael Shepler. And then we've got our master som, Thomas Burke. He was actually the training director for the Quartz Pub Master. So he was actually the top guy. So a lot of credibility. A lot of exposure and experience, and having those folks be a part of this, I think it's really going to add a really cool dimension to the beverage offerings. And I think the consumers are going to be blown away with what they come up with.
And it's got to feel good too to be a part of it, because you're part of something that you can touch so many palates and live in so many spirits on a grand scale. So that's got to feel good.
Yeah, well, no doubt about it. I mean, if you look at, we do a lot with the community, Words Beverage, and we've been looking for something that really fits developing the community, but also promoting, you know, the cocktail and craft beer and artisanal spirits. And, you know, when this thing came up, it was a no-brainer. So it's going to be a win for the consumer. They're going to be able to get some amazing cocktails, amazing drinks, amazing food, you know, some of the best music, and the artistry is going to just, you know, going to be something that folks haven't seen in a long, long time. So we're really excited to be a part of it. And it makes sense for us and what we do. I mean, we're in the service industry, and you know, we're in the beverage industry, and it's a place we call home. So it really matched on so many fronts.
And how long have you been with Words?
With Words Beverage, it'll be 5 years in September. I've been out in Las Vegas. It'll be 2 years September. So it's been, I remember that, like yesterday, the day I got off the airplane, and it's been a fun, full pack last 2 years, but it's a place that I've really enjoyed calling my new home and being some fabulous people. I mean, Las Vegas is, I know everyone thinks of Las Vegas as the gaming and entertainment, but the people behind the scenes are really what make it special.
And what's your favorite place to drink, or couple favorite places to drink in Vegas?
Yeah, you know, I was just at Velveteen Rabbit the other night. They just opened up a few months back. It's a great local spot right there in the Art District off of Main. Love that spot. Obviously, Gold Spike is something I've been hanging out. And nice. Atomic Liquors were opened up recently, so I've been known to go down there and have a few Coors Original Banquet beers. Those are probably the three right now that I've been hanging out at.
Yeah, I was just at Atomic the other night, and I had one of actually Andrew's cocktails. It was a beer cocktail. It was like a playoff of Dark and Stormy, but it was beautiful.
Right on. Very cool.
Well, great, Kevin.
I appreciate your time. Thanks a lot.
Hey, thank you, Kevin. Have a good one.
If there's anything we can do to help you or support you, just let us know.
Appreciate it. Take it easy.
Cocktail scene?
Yeah. How do you find Las Vegas cocktail scene? Where do you think we're at? Where should we go?
I think that it's very behind if you look at East Coast cocktail scene. And LA's got a really nice one. And San Francisco.
Portland.
Yeah. But like when I went to D.C., last December, and I guest bartended for the Craft Bartenders Guild there for their annual party. I forgot what it was.
Don't say that.
Anyway.
Wendy, that's
Repeal
Chloe.
Day party.
Chloe, Wendy.
Hi, Chloe.
For their annual Repeal Day party. So their theme was west of the Rockies, and they brought, you know, L.A. bartenders and me. I got flown out there, and I got to try some stuff and sit and talk with a lot of really, really talented bartenders and mixologists out there, and they are just doing things that are far above and beyond anything I've tried out here, which is, like, makes me step up my game.
Yeah. Like, Bar Smarts, Kansas City, amazing cocktail scene.
Yeah.
Amazing. Like, you would think, oh, Kansas City is just like all Applebee's or something.
No.
Fucking awesome cocktail scene. They're every place I went, crazy well done cocktails, not over the top, but just not just using obscure ingredients just because, you know. Just not trying too hard, but they were doing some good stuff.
Yeah. They would, like I say, what I witnessed there, I mean, and they're, you know, just using a lot of local and fresh farmers market kind of stuff. But nothing so out there that you have to, like, order it online because you can't find it in your local supermarket kind of stuff. But it was their combination of flavors and spices and herbs, and when I was just, it was insane. It was really, really good. And I think that you've got a lot of very talented people here that are doing stuff, but there's no one place you can go and say, I'm definitely always going to get that good quality drink. You know what I mean? It just depends on who's working.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean,
mean, you guys probably agree it's so hard because the crowd you get.
Yeah.
If I'm working during the day, I might have like one guest or something that
appreciates
a great cocktail that wants. Yeah. Otherwise, it's, you know, it's garbage.
Well, yeah, and see, especially like for me, I love to broaden my horizons and try all these cool things. But bottom line is, I work at a mixology bar on a casino floor where everybody walks up and goes, "Can I get a Bud Light?" And then they sit there for a minute and realize, oh, what's all that stuff there? And then we start talking about cocktails. But I would say on an average weekend, I might get 10 people who are really into cocktails that, you know, let me experiment and do fun things. But your average drinker doesn't care. They just don't care.
Right.
It's kind of sad.
Obviously, we're not going to use that as an excuse. We're obviously always, all of us are doing what we can.
No, we're always, I'm always stepping up my game. And I would hope that everybody else out there is too, you know, for that one person. Because, like, I have one guest that comes in from L.A. Probably once a month. And she'll bring me unique ingredients and say, "Here, I found this. And I think that you'd love to use it in a cocktail." And then I'll, like, start playing just for her. Where I have another guest who comes every couple months, and he loves classic cocktails, and he'll come in and try a different one every time. So as soon as he's coming into town, I know that's what I'm going to be doing for the weekend. You know, I have guests that come in from Denver. They want a different drink every time. Doesn't matter.
Like, boom, I got you.
They don't care what it is. Different drink every time. And they'll sit at my bar for 8 hours. That's a lot of drinks.
Right.
If you're going to come up with on the fly.
It's a full shift.
Yeah. But then, you know, unfortunately, the average consumer, they're not looking for all that complexity in a cocktail. They don't care.
But that's why our friend Ralph Aria, I know he has a website.
Yes. Yes, he does.
He's trying to bring cocktail culture to the masses.
Yes, he awesome. Is. Taking shit out of my bowl and putting it into their friends.
Oh, fuck no. I would have been like, dude.
I went right over to Megan Leary, and I'm like, an FYI, and I'm not saying it for nothing, but that chick over there is taking stuff out of the other bowls and putting it over into this one. And she's like, what? And so she sat and watched for a minute and watched the chick do it. And so that got taken out of the voting.
Good.
That was completely off.
Fucking at Quantro, we had the same thing. But I was the Las Vegas guy coming into LA's house. There's no way I'm winning because everybody had their friends coming into this party, right? And so I'd have people like, "I like your cocktail, but my friend's bartending over there." So basically, like, they had 200 people, you know, for this party, like 40 from
friends.
This bar, 40 from that bar, 40 from that bar. Who are you? I'm like, "Oh, from Las Vegas, like, work at Serendipity." This is when I worked at Serendipity, too. So, even worse, like, no brand name recognition whatsoever, you know? It's not like Gordon Ramsay. "Oh, I love Gordon Ramsay. Get some tickets." So, yeah, every time it's been, like, an audience vote. Javine Gin is going to be an audience vote, too. They give you coins or some shit or fucking tips or whatever. I forget what they fucking bought. So, I'm just like, oh, boy. And, again, I'm the Las Vegas dude. Everybody's L.A., 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 San Francisco, L.A., L.A., Vegas. Like, am I the only person interested in this shit? Like, why is nobody else coming out here?
That's why.
Yeah, I know. It seems like it's a waste of time, but it's good for the fucking website and, you know.
It's good for your resume, so.
Exactly. If I ever try to get another job, I can just be like, "Hey, look, I do a lot of stuff.
I'm a competition mixologist. Yeah. I do this. I've traveled here.
I enter them. I don't win them all.
Doesn't
or
matter.
Any. But.
No. Straight up. People are like, "Oh, do you do that?" Yeah, I'm a competition mixologist. Yeah. Do I win? No.
Oh, I can sell anything. You make it sound like it's fucking amazing.
I'm a competition. I think I'm the only person on this bar that actually competes. Anyway.
I'm good at polishing turds, trust me.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, let me go get the camera.
Yay.
The battery. I was recording that, by the way, so.
No. Shut up.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Do we all sound like bitter?
No, it was funny. Like, Raul recording him, he always asked some quotes, like, for the last one, his quote was what? Beer pong. It's like a vitamin. This one, he just said, "I'm good at polishing turds." That's a good tagline. He has many memorable quotes.
That's awesome.
Hey, so, oh, let's do...
All right, let's do it.
So, Project Lion.
What?
Fight like a lion.
Don't think thrice, me.
Don't think thrice, me.
Don't think thrice, me.
Anyhow, so I'm pretty excited about this place. So.
Me too, I'm freaking out.
He's been given an illustrious title, like best bartender in Las Vegas. He's like the best host you can have. He has a lot of personality. He's from Ireland. He's like real Irish. Yeah, he's from Boston.
So that's how
we
got the job.
Yeah, I don't think it's an Irish place.
Oh, it's not.
Project Lion. Nature Thing, bro. It's cool. Little wine bar. You guys are good at wine bar.